listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Join Pastor Trevor Banks and On to Perfection at 7:45 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO.
Port St. Lucie First Church of the Nazarene is a church on the move. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer at 7 p.m. The church is located at 121 Southwest Kester Drive in Port St. Lucie, just off of Darwin Boulevard. For more information, call 336-3908. Let us be your church home on your way to your heavenly home. That number again, 336-3908.
Okay, God, I give up. Surrender. God wants to touch you and move in your life. You have to surrender to God. We call it submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee.
More than an ordinary servant, I want to be more.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is senior pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we are going to continue a series on the book of Hosea that we began last year. If you missed any portion of the Hosea series, you can access previous programs on the WCNO website. Pastor Bernard's messages are also available on the Cornerstone Bible Fellowship website at cbfdelray.org. In today's message, Pastor Bernard will discuss Hosea chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. We are going to pick up with Pastor Bernard's discussion on verse 1 of our passage. Now here's Pastor Bernard with a continuation of Jacob yesterday, Israel today.
You see, again, you're feeding in the wind, and just like that old songwriter, God has something different. The answer, my friend, is not blowing in the wind. The answer is not in the wind. The answer is not in the government. The answer is not in Wall Street. The answer is not even with some churches. The answer that we need is from God. You're wasting your time. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we must not cook up, connect, engage with institutions or false religions that do not promote the principle or the veracity of the scriptures. If there's not a biblical-based direction that you're walking in, then you are refuting Almighty God. Did you know that? Do not trust in teachings and principles that are foreign to the Bible. How to make money, how to be successful, how to be a mover and shaker, how to gain. You know, all these principles and all these books, you go into Barnes and Noble, you go and research, even go on Google, you get all these articles, but all these articles, they don't seek to glorify God. They seek to glorify man. All these principles of the world, they do not promote a Christ-centered position. They promote a man-centered position. Let me ask you something, man. Let me ask you something, church. How good? How are you doing with that? When it comes down to your money, your resources, your family, and the direction, and our culture, and our nation, because we're so man-centered, guess what we have been rewarded? More trouble, more chaos, more confusion, more mayhem. Make all the prisons you want. Do whatever you can. Pour all the money into a program. Pour money in education, in resources, in an environment or a neighborhood. And guess what? Where's the change? Change can only happen from God. But even Christians, we got to be careful. And this is nothing new, you know. In the first century, Paul spoke to a church in Colossae. He said, hey, baby Christians or seasoned Christians, young and old alike, I need to warn you about something. Write the reference down, because we got time, we got to move on, we got communion. If Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Paul gave a warning to these first century believers. He said in Colossae, he said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." What's the source and how does it operate? How does it manifest itself? Well, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. So if I'm going to start a church, or if I'm going to start a family, if I'm going to put myself in position for financial security, if I want to be a good steward, if I want to build any kind of relationship, it must start with Christ. Do you hear me? If it's not built on Christ-like principles, if it's not governed by the will and the purposes and the hearts of God, heart or our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, hey, don't build, don't follow, because these world, the worldly principles don't follow after Christ. Why should we follow after Christ? Verse 9, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What's that, preacher? If I want wisdom, if I want strength, if I want purpose, if I want security, if I want direction, if I want to be productive, I can find everything I need in God. Who believes that? Amen. Everything I need in God. Because in Christ Jesus, he was a full manifestation of God. And we are complete in him. That's why young people looking for completeness with a host of self-destructive behavior. More relationships, more drugs, more sex, more rebellion, more disconnect, looking to get complete, looking to get complete, looking to be whole, looking to get there. You can't get your act together. You want to be completely healthy. You want to be completely fulfilled. I don't like to use that word happy, because happy is just, it's so trivial to me. Happy is like a cloud. It comes and goes like a cloud. You guys know that. Happy also points too often to being self-centered. And people walk around and say, look at you, you're married? Oh yeah. Are you happy? Are you happy at your job? Are you happy with your life? Partner, say to them, you know what? I know you mean well with that question. But I am crucified with Christ. Yeah. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I don't live to try to be happy. I live, my greatest joy, my fulfillment is living for the purpose and the glory and the pleasure of God. That should be our answer. So way back ancient Israel, Hosea the prophet is telling them, hey, don't be following the principles of the world. You're just feeding on the wind. And even in the first century, Paul said, hey, don't follow the principles and rudiments of this world. You're just feeding on the wind. A couple more thoughts about that wind. Did you know it's been said that when there's an east wind, a east wind was not something you wanted to welcome or experience. An east wind, not only are they empty, but they're also dangerous and they're destructive. And the east wind, even today, interview someone in the Middle East where wind, east wind, in all countries, they're parching, wasteful, injurious wind that blows across the desert and make a barren wasteland. Not something you want to welcome. And God says, you got your mouth wide open, trying to get your belly full of the wind. What else do we see in verse that passage, what we see in verse 1? He mentioned about increasing in lies, and you're in desolation, and you made a contract, and you made a relationship with these foreign nations. Because you didn't trust me, you trust these foreign nations. I call it the lawlessness of let's make a deal. The lawlessness of let's make a deal. Anytime somebody pull you aside and say, let's sit down together and make a deal, be careful. What's behind it? What's their motivation? Let's make a deal? Or you say, you invite me to compromise? We have an objective. What's the goal in mind? Do you follow the narrative? The ends will justify the means? What is he talking about? Well, again, you turn and you, Israel were filled with lies, negotiating, selling oil, and negotiating and making deals and building contracts and making an alliance with these nations that didn't fear God. And usually when you're working with the world, guess what? You got to lie like the world. In order for you to make a deal, they're going to ask you to compromise. Instead of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, locked in their lying and their deceit, they began to supplant the sovereign Lord and replace him with people that couldn't help them. All these deals and all these payoffs, thinking that Assyria and Egypt would be more dependable than God. Let me give you a thought. It's always absurd, not just silly and foolish. It's absurd when we abandon the Almighty. It's absurd. Why would you follow somebody that can't help you? How foolish for you, Israel, to think that Assyria can help you. How foolish are we when we think that the government can take care of us? How foolish are we when we make alliances with people that don't have God in mind, but however, we trust them? Be careful, church. Be careful. The Lord says in verse 2, I also got a controversy with Judah, and I will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings will I pay him back. That word controversy in the text, that word controversy basically means to strive. I have strife. I have a dispute. I want you to picture a courtroom. God says, you're in my court, and I'm levying a charge against you, Jacob. I'm levying a charge against you, Judah. I got an issue with you. Even though you're my lineage, I made you. I created you. I formed you. I made you a great nation. And you know what, Jacob? You are a people that used to draw near to me. However, now, I got to deal with you. I got to punish you. I got to discipline you according to your ways. And you, I got this charge against you. And guess what? You are found wanting. You are found guilty. Now, I don't know about you. If a man says I'm guilty, yeah, that guy with the black robe on, and they can go through the whole court process and go through the proceedings. And if a man says I'm guilty, all right, you can't, what you going to do to me? Okay, I'm guilty. Throw me in prison, take away my privileges, separate me from mainstream society. But when God says you're guilty, what can he do to you? What will he do? God says, here's the thing about God. He doesn't miss anything. You guys know that? And he saw the heart of the people of Israel. And he said, I didn't miss it. I see the sin in my own people, and I'm going to deal with them about it. I'm going to deal with them about it. Now, in verses 3 to 6, we move into our direction. Hosea now is going to give us a history lesson. Remember the title, Israel, Jacob yesterday, Israel today. Israel today, currently today, as a nation, have they holistically embraced their Yeshua? They too are also caught in deceit today. And what, in this context, what Hosea is doing, he said, let me give you guys a history lesson. Because you need to know something. That Israelite history, or even your history, is really about his story. It's about his story in our life. And he's going to remind them of that. God reminds Israel about their history, but it's really his story, how he brought them into existence. He gave them the prosperity. He gave them the posterity. He was the producer of Israel. And he takes a lesson from Jacob. Verses 3 to 6. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yes, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and then he spoke with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, and the Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on my God continually. He took his brother by the heel. There's one Bible character that is infamous. When it came down to that birth, here was this lady. She's going to have twins, Jacob and Esau. You guys remember the story? And the Bible says that Jacob, even though he was the younger one, he grabbed his brother Esau by the heel. Imagine that struggle. Can you imagine? He's already coming into existence, coming into this world with a struggle. Indicative of his struggle with God that's going to happen later. Struggle. And in ancient Israel, there was a phrase called heel catcher. Heel catcher. You know what a heel catcher is? When they said heel catcher, that was a double dealer. Someone who achieved their goals through craft and deceit and manipulation. Yes, a heel catcher is a double dealer, very slick. Someone who achieved their goals through crafty and dishonest means. Let's put that in the current context. I'll give you a group of people, and a good number of them, they are heel catchers. Let me tell you about the present day heel catchers. You know who they are? They're basically those that practice the law and politicians and preachers. Because they're trying to establish a means, establish money, establish an empire, establish something where they glorify themselves and not God. I'm not saying all of them, but a good number of people, they're heel catchers today because they got a goal. This men that we elect, they have an objective and a goal. That's why it's important that we are aware and that we pay close attention. In Hosea day, they had him. So Jacob, his name being deceiver, Jacob will be just like his for Israel is just like Jacob. Israel right now is just like Jacob. They deal and they operate in dishonest means. So Hosea, through Hosea, God says, let me tell you, let me take you to your lesson. Grasping the heel, going behind one's back. That's another expression of the heel catcher. A person that is a heel catcher, they go behind back doors. They do things in dark, smoke-filled rooms. They make plans. They go behind your back in order to fool you and to trick you. Yes, if you just put up that cloth, and I got a cloth up here today, and if you reach out and touch the cloth, touch that cloth, God's gonna heal you. Just for $19.99, you can have that cloth. A heel catcher. Watch it. Well, I used to be this part of affiliation politically. I am on this part of political affiliation. Or I used to be at this kind of a church and go to that kind of a church. But, you know, I just want you to follow me and help me and stuff my pockets. Yes, I'm for you. I'm going to come into your community. I'm going to help you. But as soon as election day is over, you never see them. Pastor says, hey, I'm working on a building fund, and we need to advance the kingdom of God. And then years later, they're landing off their helicopter with their little jet. Heel catchers. Same today. In this context, Jacob was a heel catcher. But yet, God gave him mercy. Yet, he endured the strength to fight and to persevere. Because he struggled with God. The prophet is recalling a struggle. Write the reference down. Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 to 30. In Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 to 30, we know that Jacob wrestled with the man of God, wrestled with an angel. You guys know that story, right? And the Bible said he wrestled all night long, and then the angel had to cripple him, just howl, bam! I can see, I wish I was watching that match. Right, you know, the angel's probably just tolerating Jacob. Jacob was just wrestling, and then all of a sudden he begged and he wept and he asked for a blessing and he would not let go. Did you know sometimes when you come to God, there's things in your life you quit too early and you don't prevail like Jacob? You got to weep, You got to hold on and say, God, I need a breakthrough. God, I need you to intervene about my husband, about my wife, about my children, about my finances, about my church. I got to continue to persevere. And guess who will grant you the grace and the power to prevail? A merciful, good God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's called late in the midnight hour action. Maybe you haven't wept all night. Maybe your eyes, you haven't wept where your eyes were swollen shut. But I know this, old Jacob wept and he cried out and he held on and he prevailed. Jacob refused to submit to God. So God basically moved and allowed him to get mercy. And while Jacob was struggling with God, God was reinforcing the point already. God said, hey, sometimes you must prevail with the Almighty to get your prayers answered. He struggled with the angel. He wept and sought favor from him. But the Holy Spirit kept him. So I want you to see two things with this in Genesis 32, verses 24 to 30. Hosea powerfully points us to a practice. He points us to a practice, as I said, we should have. Hosea, first of all, he tells us that Jacob prevailed in the wrestling match. He persevered. He was able to prevail. Second, he tells us that Jacob began to weep in the struggle. How did Jacob prevail? That's the only way when you're struggling with God, you must persevere. And how do you do it? In that struggle, something has to take place. I'm going to give you a word. What has to take place when I'm struggling and I'm praying, I'm wrestling with God? What is it that I got to do to get the blessing? Here's the word. Surrender. You must surrender. You must be humble. Stop trying to fight. Okay, God, I give up. Surrender. God wants to touch you and move in your life. You have to surrender to God. We call it submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Not only did he prevail, but he wept. And I want to comment on what are you trying to show us, Hosea? Well, Jacob, what are you trying to show us, Jacob? Well, he wept because we understand with that surrender, that weeping is a picture of brokenness. Anybody with me? Brokenness and contrition. As the Bible says, the sacrifices of God is a broken spirit and a broken, and a what kind of heart? Contrite heart. God would not despise. See, that's why they can't get out of the addiction. And that's why you can't get out of your rages and your anger and your emotional episodes. You can't get out of your sin. You can't get rid of your, because you got this thing called PRIDE. Your marriage can't get peace in, you can't get peace in the home because there's too much pride in the house. Anybody with me? Churches can't stay unified in one because there's too much pride in the church. We must be contrite and be broken like Jacob, and guess what happens? We get a blessing. We're pleading for the blessing. You're busy. I hope you're not engaged in this fruitless and futile exercise of faith. It's really not an exercise of faith. It's an exercise of flesh. This fruitless and futile exercise where you're asking God to bless me, change me, bless me, help me, but you have no intention to really change. You're just doing something they told you to do in church. It's just something that you've been teaching, you've been taught to do by tradition. Pray, pray, pray. I'm praying, Pastor. Pastor, I'm praying. But are you broken and you have poverty of spirit? Pleading for a blessing and you don't have the contrition is a waste of exercise. Make sure you got contrition. And then we move on through the passage. We move on now in verses 5 and 6. And because of that memorial, people remember that great act. Even today, we're looking at and reflecting on how Jacob, that deceiver, would now be turned into Israel. And God restored and blessed them. But verse 6 closes with a principle that we got to practice when it comes down to repentance. Israel, Hosea is saying, you got to return to me. You got to repent. Leave your backsliding, Israel. The prophet Hosea is saying, please come back. Get back to God. Come back to God. Trust God. Verse 6, turn. That word turn. Repent. Turn. Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. God is calling some of us to turn. He's calling. There's something God's telling you to turn away from. Repent. Change. Turn. Have a change of mind. Have a change of heart. Have a change of will. Turn to your God. Not only is that about repentance, but who are you relying on? Who do you depend on? And when people say, I'm broken, Pastor, and when people say, I'm genuinely repentant, Pastor, there are some aspects, there's some component about repentance that will communicate to us that is genuine. When people are truly broken, here's what they would do. They hold on to mercy. They hold on to mercy. They practice mercy to other people. Mercy. They understand the gravity of mercy. So it's easy for them to be merciful to people because of the mercy that God has given them. Has God given you mercy, church? So if you're genuine repentant, you keep mercy, and guess what? You judge fairly. You do what's right. There is the right kind of judgment. You do mercy. You practice and exercise judgment. Stop operating in deceit. Genuine repentance always involves justice and as well as, here's the big one, dependence on God. We call that waiting on the Lord. Now, our nature, we're not inclined. We don't like that word wait, do we? We don't like that word wait. God, I've been waiting for 15, 20 years. God, come much more longer than you want me to wait. You got to do something. What are we saying when we tell God he's not moving when we want him to move? God, you don't know what you're doing. You need to change your plan. Start over. Help me, God. I've been waiting. God says, you wait on me and be of good courage, and I will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 27:14. Genuine repentance, said, I'm broken, I'm going to stop trying to do this thing. Whenever God wants to do this, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to trust on him. I'm going to focus on his will. I'm going to focus on having an attitude that gives him glory. I'm going to work on my intimacy and I'm going to trust him. That's that word, W-A-I-T. I just broke it down for you in four words. I'm a W. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to abide in him. I'm going to be intimate with him and I'm going to trust him. That's waiting on the Lord. Where are you, church, as we bring it to a close, as we pick up on verse 7, now next study together, that even after that appeal and after that history lesson, in verse 7 of our text, Israel continue to maintain a disposition of pride.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Jacob Yesterday, Israel Today. In today's program, Pastor Bernard painted a powerful picture of what it means to wrestle with God. Often when facing difficult circumstances, we choose to give up too quickly. Using Jacob as an example, Pastor Bernard encouraged us to reject the temptation to quit before we receive the blessings of the Lord. Instead, we must continue to prevail and seek the Lord with a humble heart. To learn more about a relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.